The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Morning enthusiasts, welcome to the show. This is your host, Lou Need. And right now I am talking with Jenna Selmer. She's a community manager and a creative strategist for many organizations. She is out in Colorado. It's pretty warm right now as we speak, but she has made the time to join us today. And for that, we thank you, Jenna, and we welcome you to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Go ahead and tell us about your line of work.
Yeah, so I am a director of communications for the Partnership for Clean Competition, which is at the United States Olympic Committee. And that's a really exciting job because what I really do all day is talk to scientists all over the world that are doing anti-doping research to try to keep sport clean. And I take their work and what they're doing and disseminate it to the Olympic movement and the pro sporting leagues and the athlete, really all stakeholders that need to know what's advancing in that sphere. So that's my day job. And then I do a couple other things in PR as well in the outdoor industry, which is sort of my passion project. I work with an organization called the Lockwood Foundation, and they're a nonprofit that makes adventure accessible. So we're taking people that have a mental or a physical disability and probably wouldn't be able to get out, you know, up a mountain on their own, and taking them there and helping them experience that. So working with them, and then I am launching my own project next week as well called Outdoor Influencer. And what that's aimed at, people that want to grow their brand in the outdoor sphere. And there's so many people, and it's super exciting, and I'm really happy for them, enthusiastic for them. But I've noticed, and a lot of people have noticed, that the outdoor sphere is kind of being damaged, whether people know it or not. Sometimes the way that they're trying to get their photos or access wild spaces is leaving them vulnerable. So trying to pair growing their brand with good stewardship and responsible social media usage is kind of my hobby and my passion project right now.
Interesting. So the outdoor influencer, you are working with these organizations or individuals that want to have an outdoor-based program in place?
Yeah, it's going to be people that, for instance, want to work with outdoor retailers. Like, you know, if you want to work with North Face, and so you're trying to grow your Instagram or your blog or really any outdoor company, but you want to go to these places, show your pictures in these places, talk about your hiking or your outdoor activities, and making sure that you're doing it in a way that protects the environment and spreads a positive message for the people that you're influencing, the people that are watching you do that.
Absolutely. So it's working at their communication and how they can reach out the language.
Yeah, that exactly. So like growing their social media platforms. And also some people don't know how to go out into the outdoors and be efficient, or maybe they're a little bit afraid of doing that, or they don't feel like that's a space that they belong in when you're first beginning, and just helping people understand the outdoors is for everyone. Here's some things I learned along the way because I didn't grow up camping and hiking, and just it's easy. We can all do it. Here's some steps to take. Here's how to approach it.
Yeah. And that can have a surplus amount of just benefits, I can imagine, right? Just being outdoor and connecting with nature and being, and it's almost meditative.
And to be honest, that is being outside and camping and being in the wilderness is what made me love the morning, which I sort of mentioned to you, is that the morning is my absolute favorite time. And I didn't realize that until I started going outside and, you know, camping and hiking and being out there.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So about 4 years ago, right after I finished grad school, is when my husband had been doing backpacking and he really wanted me to go. And I had been like, nope, I'm not ever going to be camping. I want like chandeliers only, luxury only. And so he finally broke me down and I went outside and I started camping a lot. And I just realized I was so, so happy. And just naturally, you sort of wake up earlier when you're camping. You wake up with the sun. You want to see the sunrise. And I just noticed so much joy in my life. And the more I did this, the more I realized that I need to figure out what it is about this outdoor space that makes me so happy, because I mean, I can't spend my whole life out here. I have to go back to the city and, you know, go to my job and stuff. Like, I have a real life back home.
Yeah.
So if I want this to be realized, is that it wasn't, being outdoors was a part of it. Morning itself was something that brought me so much happiness. And that realization alone allowed me to sort of give myself permission to shift my routine to prioritize the morning. And that was monumental for me, because I used to be a complete night owl and I would stay up late and I would sleep in. And I was able to say, all right, you know what? This time is important for me. I need it. This is the self-care that is the most important in my life right now. And my mornings are now postured toward joy, and I don't sleep through them anymore, which has been all the difference for me.
Well, I love that. The way you phrase it, your morning is postured towards joy. And I think everyone, and including myself, can actually learn from that, because you want to wake up in a good attitude. You want to wake up feeling joyous and being grateful and having this attitude of gratitude instantly, so that you can start feeding that and attracting more of that towards you, towards the day. So I love that you start off with wanting to have joy and attain it.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about camping and being outdoors, because being in the presence of flowers and plants and camping is found to elevate mood significantly, right? Increased feeling of life satisfaction, which is all the things you mentioned that have happened with you. It makes us feel more relaxed and calm, and it promotes positive social behavior. That's why going camping is always fun. I've done camping, backpacking through Colorado actually for...
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, for the summer, 3 weeks of it, and I didn't want to come home.
Oh my gosh, imagine. Yeah, I bet.
it's just stunning and beautiful, and just the thought of seeing the majestic, the beauty that is before you just helps you put things in perspective.
The perspective is the key. Yeah, absolutely.
Helps you put life in perspective.
Yeah, you really get out of your own head. And one of the things that I like about it the most is that there's no mirrors. And for me, that's super important, because I think everyone, but especially women in society, we have kind of fallen into this trap about caring what we look like, or at least pairing what we look like with what our contribution to society can be and should be. Mm-hmm. And when you're outside, you don't have that burden. And it's just all about what you feel, what you can accomplish, what your body can do. And for me, that's so freeing. Mm-hmm. And it just takes away a lot of the stress that I feel is completely unnecessary for my day, but yet it totally exists sometimes for me.
Right, right. So upon rising up, walk us through what you do. And I know it changes for you, because you call the morning your thing. It's your thing. You know, you've like owned it.
Yes, exactly. So not every morning is the same for me, but I feel like I have a repertoire of behaviors that accomplish the same goal. But there is one exception that I do every single day and is extremely important for me. And the first thing I do when I wake up is I say to myself, okay, I'm awake. How can I be happier today? And this is a trick that my therapist taught me that I have brought with me, because what that does is, first of all, remind me that happiness is a scale. It's not a destination. Mm. I can be happier. It's not, how can I be happy today? It's not like, yes, you're happier. No, you're not happy. It's how can I really be happier? And the part about that I love is that it's putting the power of that in my own hands and really in my own attitude. And I just need that reminder personally every day. And it lets me go through my checklist and say, okay, what are the things I need to be happy? And, you know, for me, it's like little shifts in my thinking. Usually it's like, okay, well, I'm going to focus on what I need to do and I'm going to achieve that. I'm going to execute the tasks that I know I need to do. I am going to go for a walk with my dog. And so I just have the opportunity to go through and say, this is important to me, or this is what I prioritize today. And my happiness is within my own hands. And it's a product of my attitude. And that reminder is super important for me, because I find that I often know what I need to do during a day to be better, or to give myself self-care. But sometimes I just don't do those things. And this is my way of ensuring I do them.
Yeah. Checking yourself.
Yes. So that's how I start every day. And then the rest of my morning will totally depend on where I am. If I'm in the outdoors, we're going to be kind of like waking up. We're going to be going and seeing the sunrise, which is a beautiful thing to imagine and to experience. And if I'm at home, I'm going to be going to my Keurig and making a coffee, which I think is equally as beautiful. So just something that makes me, you know, fulfills me and makes me feel warm inside. And sometimes that's cuddling my cat, or sometimes that's taking my dog for a walk. But so every day is different. I often start with a workout in the morning.
Nice.
Movement is kind of my love language. So I'm a very active person. I am a power lifter, and I practice boxing, and I also love bar, which is sort of a ballet Pilates type workout. So I'm usually at the gym by 6 a.m. most days, after I've kind of had my moment at home where I kind of go through my thoughts, go through my emotions, and just had those moments to myself.
Right. So you give yourself, before you let the world in, you give yourself time to actually be present, be grateful, and just being aware of being alive, you know, being grateful for that. I do something very similar to that. So I have a workout morning, and I do boxing as well. Do yoga. I do jujitsu at 6 a.m. I'm up at 4:45. What time are you up?
I like 5. I like when it starts with a 5. Mm-hmm. 4 for me, I can totally do it. But my issue is I think that sleep is medicine. So I don't want to take away sleep. And I usually am in bed by 9. So getting sleep from 9 to 5 works really well for me. And I find that like my body just naturally wakes up at like 5:01, 5:02. And that works well for me.
And you don't need an alarm clock, right?
Almost never. Yeah. No, I said peeling back my curtains. My husband had blackout curtains, and like that didn't really work for me. So now when the sun is up, I'm up. And I love that. I mean, that I think your body is trained to do that. It's built for that.
It's adaptive. Your circadian clock has kicked in.
Yes.
It's the magic of it. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Okay, so you got your workout in. What's happening afterwards?
So now I'm just like, I'm jazzed up. I'm ready. I'm feeling productive. And I mean, you kind of nailed it. My morning before my workout is a chance to be present. I know a lot of people try to make their morning a time that they can be productive or like set themselves up and organize. But I really like that time just to be
silent.
Silent, yeah, and just happy and enjoying the promise of the day. It's such a hopeful time of the day for me because the rest of the day I'm super productive. So that can wait. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to slow down the rest of the day. I know that about my life. So this is my only opportunity and I relish it.
I love your outlook on it. I really do, because it resonates with me a whole lot. Being there, being present. You do what you have to do now so the rest of the things can be unnecessary or easier, right? The stress that will come for the rest of the day, you will be more equipped to handle.
Oh, exactly. I'm prone to stress and I'm prone to anxiety. So if I don't have that coping mechanism and that chance to ground myself and to remind myself what's important and that perspective that we get, you know, organically when we're out in the mountains, that's not organic for me when I'm in the city and have work to do and things like that. So I push down all of the anxiety, but what the day might have, I just let it be. And actually, one of the things that I've started doing that has been immensely helpful for me is, this is not a morning routine, but it's a nighttime routine, is I pick out my clothes the day before and I stick with those and I don't have to worry about what I'm wearing that day, which seems very simple, but for me has been the difference between like stressing out in the morning and not. So I just eliminate that stress completely.
And also eliminate the negotiation, whether you should get up or not, whether you should go with it or not, because you've already prepped. Sometimes I'm a marathon runner and triathlete. Sometimes I will pack my running shoes and my running clothes and put my clothes in my, next to me on the bed. So I get up, I can just slip right in.
Oh, I have actually worn my gym clothes to bed on more occasions. I can just like get up, go, I'm ready. It's good. But yeah, my like work clothes are then packed already. So really, I just get up and I grab my bag and I can go. It's completely stress-free. It empties my mind of these just chores, I'll call them. And it's great. It's just been very helpful for me to be able to do that. Cause I would stand in my closet for like 20 minutes, just looking around at what I'm going to wear and overthinking it. And then, you know, you try something on and you're just like, oh, I don't like that. And I could do that for 20, 30 minutes in the morning and then be late every day. Or I can put on whatever I chose the night before and then like literally not worry about it all day, what I look like. It's great.
Yeah. It's not only wasting the half hour and you don't get to work out and then it becomes a domino effect for the rest of your day. You're late now, you're rushing, your day's all going to shit. I don't want to swear, but yeah, I'm also Facebook owner, Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. Yeah.
He and Steve Jobs. Why do you think they wear the same collar t-shirt and jeans every day? They want to minimize that decision-making process so that they can focus on the bigger vision. They're visionaries, right? They need to be able to save their willpower. I read a book called The One Thing, and it talked about willpower is not at will. Essentially, that means you have it when it's high in the morning. It's very strong. But if you waste it on trying to figure out what to wear or what to have for breakfast, then it's going to whittle down by midday. And therefore, it's not as strong as when you started, and you're not going to make the best decisions. And so I am for you. I do the same thing. I pack my workout clothes. I pack my food. And also I pack my work clothes. That way I just get up and run out of the house.
Yeah, same. And that's actually brilliant. I didn't know that about willpower. It totally makes sense, but I never put that together. So I have to check out that book.
Yeah, the One Thing by Gary. It's really a good book. I'll put it on the notes, the podcast notes, for along with your interview, so readers can check it out as well.
Perfect.
Yeah, this decision making, you get the decision factor. You got to make it easier for yourself because there's so much distractions, right? There's so much thing that could steal our attention and grab our attention. I'm not even going to get into social media, but just like around the house, you know, it's so many different things you could be doing. But if you set your goal ahead of time, if you plan just a little bit, right? They say that if you plan if you take 1% of the day to plan the rest of the day, it will go so much better.
Yes. And then that's my next thing, actually, is the planning process. So usually when I get to work or wherever if I'm working from home, get to my desk, whatever, I sit down and I'm like, all right, what's important today to accomplish? And if I don't do that, and if I don't actually physically write it down, I'll spend so much of my day being like, what now? Like, what do I need to do? But if I have it there, those tasks, and I don't always get all the way through them, and that's not the goal necessarily, is just to pound through them all. But I at least can see visually what I need to do, and I'm able to prioritize it. So again, in the morning, it's when I have the clarity to be able to do that and to set my intentions for the day within work and within life. And it's just such a better system than trying to figure it out as you go.
Absolutely. It sounds like your routine has contributed tremendously to your success.
Well, I hope so, or at least I hope that it continues to do so, because it's always a process that seems to be evolving, but I'm getting closer to where I want to be, at least.
Absolutely. I want to talk about the project you're working on. How, if anyone is looking to get into that field where they want to partner up with an outdoor influencer of some sort, what are some tips to getting started? If it's intimidating, if it's scary for them, as an expert, how would you guide them?
Yeah. So the first tip that I have to tell people is that you have to be your authentic self. And the way that I grew my own community on social media is I just talked about issues that I thought were important and weren't being talked about, and created actual relationships with people. And this is key, because social media is social at the end of the day. And if you're just there to be talking at people and not receiving what they are doing as well, you're not going to have an engaged audience, and you're not going to get very far, and you're not going to get noticed. And you're not going to really have a good time doing it either. So that's my number one tip to people, is just like, make sure you're doing this for the right reason, and make sure you really believe in it and are willing to put some time and effort into it. Because if you're not reciprocating for people, if you're not, you know, commenting on what they're doing and having conversations, they're not going to do that for you. So that's one thing about being in this space. But the other thing is truly making sure that you want to be a steward of the outdoors before you're trying to represent the outdoors. And a lot of outdoor companies are started by people that just have an absolute love for this space. They want to make it better. They want to improve it in some way, or they want to help their fellow outdoorsy people. And so if they see you going out and breaking rules in national parks, or, you know, littering or climbing on monuments that you shouldn't be climbing on, you're not going to be a good representative for their brand. And that's something that they're taking very seriously these days, and everyone is kind of looking out for. So I think that those are the two main things. But then my project is going to really touch on so many things. questions I get about actually physically going outdoors. Like, how do you pee in the woods? People are just like, they're worried about stuff like this. If you're going out backpacking for many days, like, how do you pack for that? How do you dress for that? How do you prepare for that? How do you stay safe? Do you not get bored? So things of that nature, like really practical tips for actually going out and doing it, but also how to be a good steward. And then how to grow your social media channels and blog to have an engaged community.
What's the background is required? You mentioned that you have to be a steward toward being the outdoors and actually going out and experience it and respecting nature. What other background do you need to be an outdoor influencer?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. You just need to want to be out there and you need to have a passion for it. Like I said, I started from not being outdoorsy at all whatsoever to just jumping right in. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I had people that did and I surrounded myself with them and I asked them so many stupid questions all the time and they were patient enough to deal with me. So you just really need to have an interest in the outdoors. You need to have an understanding of why it's important to you and you need to kind of be open to learning. That would be the main thing. And making sure that you prepare in certain ways, being willing to prepare, being willing to make mistakes, and then being willing to improve upon the mistakes that you inevitably make.
You mentioned when you first started, you didn't know as much, but you found people that did. So success leaves clues, right? It leaves a trail and you found mentors to actually steer you in the right direction.
For sure. And they were all more than happy to do that. People want to pass on their wisdom and knowledge. And that's in fact why I'm starting this project too, because I'm like, I have all of this knowledge. I went through this process. I had so many growing pains. If I can stop somebody from having them and just teaching them something before they go, that's probably better because I made a ton of mistakes that I wish I hadn't, but you know, they helped me grow. So if you find someone that you're like, oh my gosh, that person is going out and doing all of these adventures. It looks so cool. I wish I had their lives. I encourage you to reach out and be like, hey, how did you get started? Are you willing to take me with you on a hike? And just reach out to them and ask them because people are willing to help you. That's so important to know. It always reach out. If you see someone doing in any sphere, outdoors, business, anything, reach out to them and say, I love what you're doing and I would love to learn from you. And I guarantee you, they will say, absolutely.
Yeah, not waste their time. Be enthusiastic. Be prepared to learn, as you say. Be willing to follow the steps that are being handed over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how can we connect, reach out to you to actually get insight, get your advice? Because you have a lot of it.
Yeah. So I am currently just creating those channels. The name of it's going to be Outdoor Influencer. Right now, I'm doing everything on my personal handle, which is GI Jenna on Instagram. But you can also email me at jennaselmer@gmail.com. And I'm happy to answer questions. And I really want to partner with people that have expertise in the sphere as well. Because one thing I'm not going to say is that I know everything about this, but I am going to find people that know things and help them help me get the resources out there.
Okay. Jenna, I want to thank you so much for your time and for the insight that you shared today. I think you have a good one.
All right. Thanks, you
Bye-bye.
Too.
All right, morning enthusiasts. It's time to listen up. As you know, I am a big fan of books. I strongly believe you gotta feed your mind. I personally read over 50 books a year. How, you may ask? I listen. I listen to audiobooks, the quickest and fastest way to consume content. Audible and I are offering you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/BMR ever to get yours. It's that simple. Sign up and I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever. Stay blessed.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. it's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.